Welcome to A Girl in Progress, the self-development podcast for millennial women working on themselves for themselves. We believe it's possible to strive to become the best version of yourself, while also accepting yourself exactly as you are. Whether it's giving you a glimpse into the daily routines of inspiring women, or sharing the stories of those who started before they felt ready, this podcast is all about encouraging you to take imperfect action towards your goals and find productivity and success on your own terms. As for me, I'm your host, Emma Norris. I'm a journalist, author, cheese enthusiast, imperfect action coach, and the founder of agirlinprogress.com. Let's get into the episode. Hello everyone, I'm Emma Norris, and if we haven't met already, I am a writer, author, imperfect action coach, and the founder of A Girl in Progress, which is an online destination for women working on themselves for themselves. And if you are like, yes, that's totally me, I'm a woman working on myself for myself. If you are a self-development and productivity nerd looking for actionable tips, if you are looking to build an online business on your own terms, you are in the right place. Just some basics about me. I was born and raised in Sydney, Australia, if you couldn't tell by the accent. I live in the beautiful eastern suburbs. Fun fact, I love being near the ocean, but I'm not a huge fan of swimming. I'm not the strongest swimmer, so just love being in proximity to the ocean and seeing the ocean. I also lived in Canada and Ireland as a kid. My dad's a doctor, so we kind of moved around for work a bit. I am 29 years old. I am turning 30 next year, which is kind of scary. I am an Aquarius, which I kind of resonate with and kind of don't. I am, I guess, quite very creative, free spirit, and also quite righteous, or have a strong sense of justice. So I guess that's Aquarius vibes. I don't really relate to the, I guess, emotionless, very stoic side of Aquariuses. I'm kind of more like a Pisces in that way. And I am obsessed with pizza. So I haven't missed a week eating pizza for, I think, something like 10 years. I guess my story really begins as a kind of quirky little girl. I've always been very creative, very into reading and writing. I would write all these like crazy stories about ghosts and goblins and make my poor parents read them. And I have always been obsessed with magazines. So I think I've been reading magazines since I was like 6 years old. I don't know if anyone remembers, or the Australians out there might remember, there was a magazine called Barbie Magazine, like That Barbie. We would go to grocery shopping at the supermarket, and I would have read the entire thing like while my mom was shopping, and still make her buy it for me. So just absolutely obsessed with magazines and how, you know, they bring together content in this really visual way. So kind of always knew that I would go down that path. But yeah, during probably both primary and high school, I was always that kind of weird creative girl who would like make up little songs and like crazy stories for my assignments. And my love of magazines continued all through my teens. They were very much a lifeline for me, as they were a lot of girls. You know, I was bullied quite badly at high school, so magazines always sort of felt like my safe space. And I guess, you know, I developed a real love and, I suppose, in a way, talent for writing. So it kind of made sense that when I finished school, I went into studying journalism. You'll learn that procrastination is something I'm really passionate about teaching about, or how to not do it. I think it really holds back really creative driven women. But this is where my procrastination habit really hit its heights. So I really struggled to focus and organize myself during uni. Like, I was really interested in what I was learning about, but I just could not get my shit together. I now know that I actually had undiagnosed inattentive ADD, which I'm gonna do a whole video about that whole story and journey. So that led to me actually finishing uni late without the rest of my cohort because I couldn't like get it together to do enough units, or I stuffed up something with my enrollment. From there, I went into the fast-paced world of magazine journalism, you know, which I had always been really passionate about. I actually interned for a year at Clio magazine, one day a week, which is kind of like Cosmo. It's like a women's sort of lifestyle magazine, I guess you would call it. And I got my first job in magazines kind of through filling in for people. Like, I've always been very strategic and very good at, I guess, at identifying opportunities. So, you know, when the editorial coordinator, which is kind of like the receptionist of magazines, would go on leave, what ended up happening was I filled in for the editorial coordinator at a magazine called TV Week, which is like a weekly entertainment magazine. It wasn't exactly the glossy fashion lifestyle magazine that I had in mind, but a great, great experience. So what ended up happening was the editorial coordinator that I'd filled in for actually got a promotion, so that job opened up. So it was between me and this girl who was already working at TV Week, and I went for this job. I really, really wanted it because this was going to be, you know, my first, you know, foot in the door in magazines, my first full-time media job, and did a writing test and ended up missing out on the role, which I was really, really disappointed about at the time. But what happened, and you know, this has actually been a pattern a few times throughout my career, like I've missed out on the job at first and then got it the second time around and like learned a bunch in the process. So I think that's a really important lesson. Like, failures aren't always failures. Sometimes they need to happen in order for you to get that opportunity at the right time. The assistant photo editor, she got that editorial coordinator job, which was kind of like a sideways step for her, and I got her job, which was the assistant photo editor. So I kind of spent a year sort of learning the ropes in the photo department. When that editorial coordinator left, she was editorial coordinator and junior writer, so it was like kind of a junior journalism job, which was part of the reason I wanted it so bad. I wanted to write. And then after a year, I did get that job, and then kind of spent a few years sort of working my way up as a writer at a few different weekly magazines, which really, really hectic pace, getting a magazine out every week. And I think it was around this time that I realized that my procrastination habit just was not gonna fly. I really had to learn to get my shit together and find a productivity system that worked for me and find a way to get things done on time, because in journalism, you can't just miss deadlines. You can't really just leave things to the last minute unless you want to do a crap job. So yeah, I quickly realized that I was gonna have to find systems that worked for me. After a few years working in magazines, I basically got bored, as I'm prone to do, but I also realized that the publishing world was changing. You know, everything was about digital, online, social media. This is right around the time that digital and blogs were really becoming a huge part of the media landscape. And I was like, I've got to get in on that. Sort of around the time I had been like religiously reading this wellness, online wellness publication that I absolutely loved, and a job came up there. It was actually for a job in LA, funnily enough. And as always, I didn't get the job that I wanted, the one in LA, but I did get a job as a content producer in Sydney. So I actually took a pay cut to go and work there against the well-intentioned advice of everyone around me. I knew it was the right thing. I knew everything was going digital and that this was a way that I really needed to upskill. And also, I just wanted to do something different. So I went and worked there, which was awesome. I ended up writing something like 800 articles while I was there. So I became such a better writer there and learned so much about the digital space and what was involved in running a successful blog or, you know, even online content business. And around that time, I was in a lot of business Facebook groups and I was seeing a lot of people like working for themselves, and it seemed so exciting and they were working on their own terms. And so I thought, you know, around this time I had, you know, a few years of writing experience behind me. So I thought, I'm going to start a copywriting business. So my first business was called Content in the City, and I really started out writing absolutely everything. To be honest, I started out with my rates like way, way too low, and that's something that I would definitely advise against. I'm not gonna say exactly how low, but charge your worth, even when you're first starting out. But I guess the side effect of that was that I got lots and lots of work because my prices were accessible and I was able to build up my skills in so many different areas. I kind of entered the business world, I guess, out of necessity to keep afloat. At the same time, my ADHD, still very much undiagnosed, still very much unmedicated. I was terrible at managing money. So I very much needed to be bringing in more money, and that's what I did. Around this time, I was going to a lot of events through this blog, which was really exciting, and I was meeting a lot of influencers who were so lovely, but they were very much the sort of blonde, tanned, Aussie influencer toned vibe. And I very much felt out of place. I'm quite pale and short, and I'm way more comfortable in jeggings than, like, you know, being super glammed up. And nothing wrong with being someone who loves to get glammed up. Like, don't get me wrong, on like special occasions, I love to go all out. But I just felt a bit out of place. I felt quite dorky. And I realized that there was maybe a place in the media market, you know, for a blog or a destination that celebrated the every girl, you know, that was a little bit more relatable and inspirational than aspirational. So that actually led to me starting my own blog. I'd actually tried to start a few blogs in the past and nothing had ever stuck, but I knew that it was an avenue that I wanted to explore at some point. So I guess, you know, having seen this gap in the market for something a bit more relatable, something for the every girl, A Girl in Progress was born. I think I came up with the name before I came up with the concept, which is how I tend to work a lot of the time. It kind of just started as a lifestyle blog that just covered a little bit of everything. So from the get-go, I got contributors on board, which was really exciting that people even wanted to write for this blog that at this point had no readers. And the first thing that I did was start an Instagram account, way quicker to get an Instagram account set up than a whole blog. And I also created just a simple form for a mailing list so people could get on the wait list. And that is definitely what I would recommend to people. Like, what is the first step you should take? It's setting up an Instagram and giving people some way to join your mailing list. Even better if you can give them like a free guide or something to incentivize them to join your list. But you know, it's just a good way to take imperfect action to start getting hype even before you launch. Launching it was not necessarily smooth sailing. I had a developer who just completely trashed the template that I paid them to make. And then I had, you know, a bug on the site like the first day I launched it. So it was not smooth sailing at all. And little by little, it started to grow a community around it. I think people really resonated with the idea of being a woman working on yourself, for yourself, and being kind of an unfinished product, but still always striving to better yourself. I was able to grow it to 100,000 readers within the first year, which was super exciting just to know that there were people out there, you know, reading my work and the amazing work of our contributors in quite a short time frame was an amazing feeling. And this is really where my transition from, you know, just a writer and journalist to a self-development and productivity educator kind of began. So at the same time as growing the blog, I was juggling freelancing. So at this point I was working full-time for myself. I realized I hated being shackled to a desk from 9 to 5. So did the freelancing, was juggling lots of different copywriting clients while also growing the blog. And it was kind of just like through finding ways to keep myself organized and meet deadlines and stay focused, or what, with undiagnosed ADHD, unbeknownst to me, that I became really interested in productivity. Also, my partner is a big self-development nerd. He was in this world long before I was. So he actually kind of led me on that path of trying to better myself and getting really into self-development. So it all kind of happened quite organically. I actually ended up launching a podcast about a year into A Girl in Progress. Podcasts were kind of becoming a thing. I've always been someone who kind of like is an early adopter of these things and like jumps on them pretty quickly. So podcasts were becoming a huge thing at this time. I loved listening to them. So I started a podcast called A Day in Progress, where I would interview all these amazing businesswomen or entrepreneurs and freelancers on their daily routines. I've always been a huge sticky beak when it comes to like, oh, how do you organize your morning? Or like, what's your daily routine? So I basically just started the podcast so that I could be nosy and find out other people's routine and how they got so much done. So this is really where my love of productivity really went to the next level, because all these people were so different and they had completely different ways of organizing their life. You know, some of them swore by their digital apps and some of them were old school paper and pen. Some of them would work really long hours and some of them would, you know, just work in short, sharp bursts. I was really trying to still figure out what was going to work for me in terms of organizing myself, juggling the many different things that I had going on. I was still quite a chaotic mess at this point. I still kind of am. But it all really came to a head when I was on a trip to Paris with my auntie, and I was still glued to my laptop the entire time. And she was kind of like, what's the point of working so hard if you can't even enjoy the fruits of your labor? And I realized that my procrastination habit had kind of almost turned into a perfectionist habit. And as you'll hear me talk about a lot, perfectionism and procrastination are actually the exact same thing, just like dressed up in different ways. But I realized I'd gone quite far into the opposite direction, where I was just taking on more and more kind of people pleasing and feeling like I just couldn't say no to people or turn down work. And it had all left me thinking like, there has got to be a better way. You know, just working around the clock, hustling 24/7, this isn't sustainable. And what is the point if I can't even enjoy a holiday? Like, what am I working so hard for? Around this time, or not long after, it ended up being discovered by a publisher in New York called Quarto Publishing. And they actually found me through a free downloadable that I had very imperfectly chucked up on a Girl in Progress years before that. I don't even know how they found me at this point, but it does goes to show that you might feel like you're putting things out in the world and people aren't noticing, but there are always people silently observing. So they were actually looking for someone to write a book on mindful productivity, which is now called Progress Over Perfection. And it was just such perfect timing because, you know, I had been exploring all these things, you know, trying to find a more sustainable and intentional approach to productivity for myself. And that was something I'd been manifesting for years. Like, you know, what writer doesn't want to experience that feeling of holding your own book for the first time? So I was given 4 months to write it, which in and of itself taught me a lot about productivity and staying organized and fighting through perfectionism. And my first book, Progress Over Perfection, actually came out last year. So here it is. This one here is actually the workbook that comes out very soon to go alongside it. And you know, that book coming out really changed the trajectory of my career. You know, like I said, I was already quite into self-development and productivity. This really took it to a whole new level. And I realized that I wanted to help women overcome perfectionism and procrastination and unlock the limitless potential that has always been inside them on a bigger scale. So it was through this that I started my coaching, and I sort of thought like, what is my niche? What corner of the coaching world am I going to carve out for myself? It was around this time that I came across the term imperfect action, which is actually a term that was coined by Harry Truman, who was a former president of the United States. And he said, imperfect action always trumps perfect inaction. And I realized imperfect action, like that is what I have been doing this entire time. That is my superpower. Like, you know, it's the organized chaos that I mentioned before. Like, I have not had my shit together, but it's my ability to just, you know, take the path of least resistance and consistently take small, messy actions that's really allowed me to forge this career for myself and achieve things quite quickly. You know, I realized that's it. I'm an imperfect action coach. I'm gonna help women, you know, overcome these self-sabotaging behaviors that keep them stuck and just move forward and create that momentum towards their goals, whether that's in their life or career or business. I also launched a course on procrastination called Procrastinate to Action Taker, which now has over 4,000 students in it, which just blows my mind to be able to help so many women overcome this habit that just keeps so many of us just so small and stuck. And throughout all of this, I'd become really fascinated by how the brain works, how that affects, you know, things like self-esteem, self-worth, and also, you know, executive functioning and our ability to be productive and achieve our goals. So I started studying psychology last year. So I am halfway through a graduate diploma of psychology, which is like a bachelor of psychology, but condensed into 1.5 years. You kind of just do one subject at a time for 6 weeks. It's pretty intensive. And also did a certificate in applied neuroscience. I am going to be sharing more about my story and some of the struggles that have come along, you know, ADHD and bullying and all of that stuff as we go, because I think it's important to share the hard stuff as well as the, like, you know, shiny life achievement things. So if you're looking to level up your life and achieve some really big goals, if you're into productivity, self-development, or are a psychology nerd like me, if you're a creative, you know, wanting to learn how to bust through perfectionism and procrastination and writer's block and get your work out into the world, make sure you hit that button and like and subscribe, and I will see you guys next time. Thanks for listening to the Girl in Progress podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure you hit subscribe and leave us a review. You can also check us out over on agirlinprogress.com, the online destination for women working on themselves for themselves. Or get social with us on Instagram @_girlinprogress. Can't wait to see you there.